You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle and your vegetarian salad of life and boring news, folks. It's our job to give you those injury tidbits in real sports, entertainment, odd news, whatever, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you on this week's episode. Man, we are heading down to the home stretch here. There's a lot of things happening. A lot of it personal, which we're going to get to in a little bit. A lot of it major in the sports world because it was the first major with the Masters. We're going to talk about that.
Yep.
We're going to go back into the past just a little bit. We're going to go over Succession because Mikey finally watched it.
Finally.
So there's a lot to get to on this episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. On this episode, before we jump into everything crazy, Mikey, how is Costanzo country? What's happening over there?
Doing good. I was down in Virginia this past weekend celebrating one of Jordan's good friend's 30th birthdays. So that was a lot of fun. It was an early 2000s themed party, which
specifically early 2000s.
Yeah, I think it's a little too recent to do a themed party of that, but I will say this. Everybody was digging the double popped collars that I had.
Yeah.
I wore two polos with the two popped collars.
That was a thing for like a split second.
Everybody loved it. But the food was great because they had a spread of all of these old like late 90s, early 2000s junk food. So they had Doritos, they had fruit by the foot. They had fruit roll-ups, they had ring pops, Airheads, and I don't know how we ever survived that era. Fruit roll-up recently?
How did we make it through without getting juvenile diabetes?
Oh my God. me and the fruit roll-ups, me and JB would wad it into a ball, the whole thing, and stick the entire thing into our mouths.
Well, you know, kids...
I was ripping off tiny pieces of meat, and I was like, oh, man, I can't do this.
You know what it is? Kids are, like, just sugar destroyers.
Oh, my gosh.
They just can imbibe so much sugar and just unleash energy, and it just works for some reason.
And here I have some Easter pie and coffee, and I have, like, the worst indigestion. So, you know,
oh, that's going to be fun to record this episode then.
Yeah.
Great. There you go. Mike's already burping a storm over there.
Fantastic.
Oh, this is going to be a fun episode.
It's going to be great.
Get ready, folks.
Yeah, so maybe I'm still recovering from the weekend. But I did that. I also got a chance to go to the National Aquarium in Baltimore, which has always been the one big thing that I wanted to do. I've been in that city like three or four times. Mm-hmm. Never... got a chance to see the National Aquarium. It was always like hanging over my head. It was my white whale. Because I actually love aquariums. I'd never been to one. I've been to three in the past calendar year. They're so cool.
You ever been to one in Camden?
No, I've never been to the one in Camden.
Oh, there you go.
Zoos and aquariums, for some reason, they just intrigue me. I like seeing weird animals and, you know, weird sea life. It's just cool to me.
Basically, you just want a safer version of Jurassic Park.
Basically, yeah. That's all I
right,
want.
That makes sense for you.
So I went to the National Aquarium, and I got to say, not as good as the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago.
So take that, Baltimore.
No, they didn't have any whales. They had no beluga whales. They only had two sad dolphins. They had no otters.
Oh, my gosh.
So
you guys lost.
But I did touch a stingray, which was fun.
But not as good as Chicago.
No, Chicago, the Shedd Aquarium was like twice as large and had way more.
You should compile now a ranking of aquariums.
I have one.
Have you been?
I've been to now the National Aquarium in Baltimore. I've been to the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. And I've been to the Key West Aquarium in Key West, Florida. Okay, but so, oddly, not the Camden Aquarium. Right, so the closest one I have not been to.
So you need to go to Camden, and then you have four. There you go.
Four
aquariums. You can make a list.
Yeah, and I want to go. I've heard my girlfriend was in Tennessee, 2 years ago. She said the Chattanooga Aquarium was the best of all of them.
So now you can have five. There you go.
I got to go to the Chattanooga
and
one.
Then
apparently,
that's
the best one.
And then you can create your own blog post.
Mikey, just about aquariums.
Mikey Costanzo's expert review.
Aquariums are so... Have you been to an aquarium?
Not recently.
I think they're the coolest thing ever.
I think I did one as like a field trip.
I think they're so cool. That like some of the fish that are in rivers in North America are just like frighteningly large. Like it's just... It's like mind-boggling.
You know, I'm going to go on a tangent here.
Sure.
I saw a Twitter post that said something to the effect of, why do kids get to go on field trips?
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Like, really, adults should go on field trips.
I guarantee you, little 7-year-old Billy doesn't care about no aquarium, but I'm over there learning all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
So maybe that should be a thing. If you're a little bored recently or you're kind of feeling a little, you know, used to the routine, plan a field trip.
That's what I do.
It
should be for adults. Yeah.
What the hell's Timmy gonna do with the aquarium? He's not gonna do much.
Actually, they do have adult field trips. They're called team building exercises in the corporate world.
Screw that! No, I'm talking about like ones that you want to do.
Yeah.
Not the ones
you know exactly. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Not the ones that work forces you to do.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I went to an escape room one time with my previous company. That was a lot of fun.
You sound so thrilled with that.
Well, I mean, it was fun. It was a Revolutionary War themed escape room. It was a lot of fun, but the company wasn't spectacular.
Okay.
But anyway.
There you go. Good
so,
job.
So, yeah. So that's what I've been doing. Rich, what have you been up to recently?
The first thing I want to mention is that I finally played 18 holes, full round of golf.
Oh, nice.
This weekend.
Well, yeah, you finally got some nice weather.
Yeah. And it's been a while too. It had to have been before COVID was the last time I played a full 18 holes. So
it felt good to get back out there and get your swing back in order.
Yeah. Although it took like 4 or 5 holes for me to really get, you know, everything working again, you know, get used to, you know, the swing and everything and
knock off the rust.
Yeah. I literally did knock off some rust because I played at Paxson Hollow and on the third hole, I think is a par 3. And I finally get a good whack on a tee shot. And, of course, the ball, when I hit it, I probably wasn't aligned properly, but I hit it really well. The ball goes straight towards, like, this oak tree, and it makes the loudest thunk ever. It was just awesome. Like, it was just one of those, I'm not even mad that, like, you know, whatever. I get a bogey, double bogey, whatever. Who cares? I'm not playing for a tournament. That was just awesome. It just hit me, like, the loudest, like, thunk.
Like a power shot right to that stupid tree.
Yeah, take that.
Yeah, take
tree.
That nature.
Boo! Get out of here.
Get out of here, nature.
With your tree.
Stupid trees and stuff. Your pollen.
Yeah,
and
boo.
Leaves and stuff.
Yeah, so that was a fun little wake up call to get used to everything.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was fun. But yeah, it was good to be back out on, you know, full golf course, full 18 holes.
What did you shoot? How
so
well did you do?
We played,
how many hole in ones? 4 or 5?
No hole in ones. We played a system called Best Ball.
Okay.
Where you team up with somebody and you both hit shots, and whoever is in a better position, you play that ball.
Okay. That's kind
it's
of
good.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's good. It kind of it speeds it up a little bit. There's kind of less pressure because if you mess up, hopefully your tag team partner will give you a better shot.
Right.
You know, it's a little more relaxed. So that, it was, yeah. So we had a very fun round playing that. I had a couple good putts, which was really cool. You know, be back on the, you know, I it's funny. I totally forgot. Rachel had gotten me like a little mini putting green that you can stick in the house.
Like people have like their offices and kind of like thing. Yeah.
And like I had forgotten that I had it with the move. So like last week I was like, oh, I can bust this out now. I have a house.
Hey, so you were practicing your putts.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Nice.
So that worked out well. And then Sunday, I was doing more shooting, but not on the golf course. Actual shooting.
Oh.
My friend Anthony, he took me out. Didn't tell me where we were going. He just said you had to
surprise shooting.
Yeah, he was just like, I have a wedding present for you. Let's just come here at this location, 8:30. Okay. Don't ask questions. I was like, all right.
Don't ask questions.
And yeah, he took me out to shoot a gun. And it was it's something that I think we've talked about it on the show. It's like, I've never had to shoot a gun before. And I always think that's kind of like just something you should know. Like just like a life, like just a life skill, like just in case, I don't know, God forbid you ever need to.
Just in case you find yourself facing off against some criminal.
Let's put it this way. I don't want to be Fredo, you know, when his dad gets attacked and he's fumbling around
with
a gun.
Right. Yeah. If you need to, you can, you know.
Yeah.
Bust a cap in someone's ass.
Right. And I can reload a gun. I can fire a gun now, you know.
Nice. So you are a marksman.
Not a marksman. But I at least can handle it.
That's funny because in the past, like, less than a year, we've both had our first experiences with shooting guns.
Yeah.
Recent, you know, give or take.
Right.
And
but you did machine guns.
I did machine guns, but I... So the way you described it, sounds like you guys got way more time at the range because what I did was had a very limited set of bullets. So it was like, you know, I got to shoot three different really high powered guns, but it was like over in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but you said you shot a couple of handguns.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
shot a Glock, which was cool.
Nice. Was it
I felt like Tommy Lee Jones and
were they all semi-auto or were they automatic? Because the one I shot a Glock too, but it was an automatic one.
It was a single or no? It was a no. That wait, the Glock was a dual chamber one because you could load it in both.
Oh,
yeah. So yeah, it was like you could pop like boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't expect it to be as loud and as forceful as it is.
It's very forceful. Yeah, if you're not, yeah, you really got to be like having a good grip on it, having a good stance.
You have to be prepared. Like I walked in like, you know, whatever, but like I don't know how the handguns are. I've heard handguns are harder because with the rifles you have the stock to brace yourself against. But the handguns, it's just all forearms. You know, holding it back.
Well, let's put it this way. You got to have two hands on it. I don't know anybody.
These action movies where people are holding them sideways with one hand. Yeah.
No.
Dual wielding.
That's impossible.
No, the kickback on these things is ferocious.
Yeah.
And they're so much louder than you expect.
Right. Something else, too, is the weapon gets hot, too, if you fire too much.
Yeah.
I never, like, put that together, too. Like.
Yeah.
It'll start cooking up a piece of bacon if you threw some bacon on it.
Yeah.
That's America.
That's America. That's right.
I want to fire my gun and throw bacon on it.
Fry up some bacon on your gun.
At the same time.
Nothing tastes better than a fresh gun fried slab of bacon.
Nothing tastes better than justice and bacon.
In my Ford pickup truck.
All at once.
All at once.
There you go. America. But yeah, so we had the pistols and then, we had one rifle we were shooting too. That
nice.
Was, which I gotta admit, my shoulder got sore there after like the fourth shot.
Those guns have a kick, man.
Yeah. So it was finally good to get that off the bucket list.
Yeah.
So I did all of that. Okay. So with that in mind, there's something that we need to bring up before we get into the week's, news topics, and that's actually a little bit of more personal news with us, but also in reference to the show.
Right.
Obviously, I'm getting married, wedding's coming up. Mike also has a very fantastic trip he's planning.
Yeah, we didn't really think about how we were doing those things back to back.
Yeah, no, but you know what?
Life happens.
Yeah, life happens, and I think it's. You know, I think it works out the way that it fell.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for you guys, for fans of the Crispy Noodle, we will have to go on a little bit of a spring break hiatus with just with everything going on.
Yep.
So our last episode before the spring break hiatus will be next week. So there'll be one new episode next week, and then we're on a two week hiatus after that.
Yeah, we come back mid May.
Yep. At that point, we'll go over the draft and
we'll have a lot of news to talk about.
Yeah, we probably will. So at that point, we'll go over all the draft news and other things that happen.
We'll talk about New Orleans and London.
We'll both be on vacationing. Yeah, we're both going to be on two different vacations.
We're going to come back like totally laid back. I'm going to forget how to do the podcast.
Yeah.
That's honestly it'll be the longest break we've ever had the show.
I mean.
And so we started this, 2013?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
2013, 14, something like that. We've been doing this for at least 7-8 years.
Yeah.
We've never missed more than a week.
Yeah,
we usually, I mean, even during COVID, we were recording virtually.
We usually try and don't miss back-to-back because it kind of creates a little bit of a lapse in the schedule.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the way that this fell, it works out. We both get a little bit of a well-needed break.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, big things that I'm getting married. So that's...
Yeah, you can't just, like, brush that aside. You're like, yeah, it kind of works out. Everything lined up. Like, Rich is getting married.
Yeah.
This isn't like you plan, like a party or something. You're going to miss, like, you know, I mean, it is a party, but kind of different.
Yeah, and there's a honeymoon right after. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. The best part is we're going on a break, but it's all good things.
It's all good stuff, and we're going to come back refreshed, and we're going to hit you guys with all the wackiness that you come to expect.
Yep. So, I just want to get that programming note out there. So, in a way, it's like next week is our season finale or something. It's like,
because we're
going to take a big break.
We'll have to do something special.
Yeah, I don't know what.
And do the regular programming that we always do.
I don't know what, but yeah, maybe we'll do something to cheers the end of the current season. Which is, but that would be a weird thing to try and project, because I think we would have to go all the way back to, like, before COVID. Like, cause we rolled right into, like, the Crispy Compact communique, and...
Yeah.
We couldn't divide this show up into seasons. It wouldn't
work. I always like to think that our seasons went up to the holiday break.
Yeah.
You know, it was, like, just the calendar year, because we always had that holiday break where we played all the recap shows.
Yeah.
And then we would come back in the new year with the new content, but then COVID blew that up.
Yeah, COVID just blew that straight to hell.
And then the format of the show changed, and it's like, it's been quite the interesting ride the past couple years.
Yeah, and it is what you said. We are like a whole new different show. I mean, we try to make it a little more tighter, a little more specific.
Yeah.
So
as we sit here rambling in just the intro.
Yeah, but
no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, this is definitely something we had to get off the plate and make sure that you guys know about it, that we're going to be taking a little bit of a hiatus coming up. So
that's good stuff. Very exciting stuff.
The season finale of the Crispy Noodle Podcast next week. Make sure you listen to that and you know what's up.
That's right.
All right. Now, with all the crazy personal news aside, now let's get into the actual news at hand. Let's go into the first batch of topics in the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face, and we're going to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less with the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
Yeah, I'm ready.
There you go. What do you got?
All right, in the two-minute drill, first up, we have a little bit of basketball news. LeBron James and the Lakers have missed the NBA playoffs. Rich has been dying to talk about this one. Because the NBA also instituted the new play-in tournament rules that allow...
They didn't make the play-in!
I mean, for those that don't know, the NBA now allows basically...
20 teams out of 30.
That's almost all the teams. They might as well just let everybody in.
Two-thirds of the teams get into the playoffs.
And so
the Lakers don't make it.
The great LeBron James and Lakers couldn't even make the play-in tournament. I think the coach was fired.
Yes, he was.
Because of this past season, I guess.
This is so... I can't believe anybody still wants to put LeBron on the same pedestal as Michael Jordan. This is so just so stupid. How do you not make a... There's 20 teams in this playoff. How do you not make it? It's two-thirds of the league.
Look. I'm going to say this.
Just be awake. You should be making the playoffs.
Yes, you're right. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have a down year or a down season or a down team. I think when everything is said and done, LeBron James will still be counted as one of the greats, but...
Not the great.
No, not the greatest, but you can't discount everything he's done the past... How long has he been playing? Like 2 decades almost, probably?
Yeah, so he'll go down as an icon, but as far as him being another MJ or this generation's MJ, I disagree.
Well, absolutely he's this not. Generation's MJ.
No.
Because MJ's not in this generation.
I would rather go with Kobe. To me, the circle of
he's a different generation.
Not too much. You could still go Kobe, and then maybe there's somebody else after this.
Wow, you hate LeBron so much.
I do. Overhyped. There you go.
You hate him so, so much. Well, someone else who is worthy of some condemnation is quarterback Deshaun Watson. Real quick, we didn't get to this in the two-minute drill, but his lawyers are attempting to push back his civil cases until after the Super Bowl, at which point they believe it will prevent Commissioner Roger Goodell from suspending Watson for the 2022 season. If I were Goodell, I'd say, you know what? I'll call your bluff. I'm suspending him anyway. Enough of this nonsense, right?
I mean, I would love to see that, but I guess you got to have the argument that can you suspend a player for accusations?
Legally, it may be tricky. I don't know what is allowed and what isn't allowed, because I could see Watson be like, you can't suspend me and cost me all this money when, you know, legally, we don't know what I've done yet.
Right.
I'll just say this. Somebody who's innocent does not do the things that Deshaun Watson has done the past year.
Yeah, it seems like
it kind of reeks of, you know, something definitely happened, right?
It just seems like he's not innocent at all.
I like the way you said it. He's not innocent at all.
Yeah, like it's just it seems like they're trying to use these weird tactics, try and, you know, move the court cases around. You know, now try and
if you're innocent,
delay
them. If you're innocent, go to court.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're innocent, go to court.
If you have truly nothing to hide, it seems like this is not the move that you would make.
Yeah, this has been dragging on for what, like a year and a half now?
Oh, more than that.
More than that.
It's been. I mean,
this was right around COVID, wasn't it?
He already lost a year.
Yeah.
Like when he gets his playing card made or his stat sheet made, 2021 is going to say DNP not play this entire season.
Yeah.
So it's going to be already a stain on his career. So obviously, I'm sure he wants to get back to it. But boy, I don't know. What happens if Goodell just goes nuclear and does suspend him still?
Honestly, I think Goodell kind of should. I mean, players have been suspended for, you know, other infractions that I don't think raise to the same level as Deshaun Watson's.
Yeah.
Alleged.
Again, I hate things. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when you have 22 smoke signals and somebody who was juking and diving through the forest to try and avoid them, I think there's a fire.
I would.
That's just my analysis.
I mean, you know, yeah, can all 22 of these cases be wrong? I don't know. That seems highly improbable.
And how many tricks and loopholes have they performed?
Yeah. You know? Well, they're doing another one here with this scheduling thing, trying to make all of the civil cases held after the 2022 Super Bowl or 2023 Super Bowl. So, that'll be interesting to see if Goodell still decides to, you know, go after him with the commissioner's exempt list or something else. But
I say use all the tools at your disposal.
Yeah, this is a pretty weird development.
Absolutely. So we'll keep you guys posted if there's any changes. But at this point, we might not hear anything until after the Super Bowl. So
I mean, with regards to the final determination of these cases, yeah.
Yeah. So
I didn't even know that's like, how long could you delay a freaking case?
That's a good point. You just keep on kicking the can down the road. Be like, oh, I broke my elbow. I can't appear in court now. Delay the case.
My uncle twice removed died. I have to go see him.
Yeah, I got to take my dog to the vet. Happened to be on the same day. Like, at some point, there has to be a limit, right?
I would imagine so, but
they're testing it.
They are. I mean, look, we're in April, and they're going to push these all the way till basically March of next year.
That's
crazy.
Insane. That's a full calendar year.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
That's bizarre.
If I were the judge, I'd be like, no. I'd be like, no, you've had a year of this. Show up.
That doesn't even seem legal.
Yeah, right?
Like, I didn't even know that was, like, within the wheelhouse of possibilities.
Who knows anymore?
Yeah. Interesting.
Anyway, moving along, we do have a little bit of sad news to get to. We did want to mention that former Commanders and Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins was killed this past weekend in a tragic, not even a car crash. He was hit by a vehicle.
Just
24 years old. Really sad. I mean, he only came into the league in, 2019?
Yeah.
So he was only
drafted by Washington, which wasn't a good sign.
Yeah, whenever you're drafted by Washington, it's always, you're always starting off things on a down note. But, man, this is just so tragic to get hit by a car. He was So apparently what happened is he was attempting to cross I-595 in South Florida on foot, I believe.
Yeah, which very questionable decision.
Very questionable decision. Early Saturday morning, so he was struck by a dump truck. God, and you hate to see it happen. 24 years old, only 3 years in the league, didn't really even get a chance to prove what he was really capable of. You know?
No, he only had the one starting season with Washington and then flamed out and was picked up by Pittsburgh as a backup quarterback and possibly going to compete for the starting job in Pittsburgh with...
what's his name?
Yeah,
Rudolph?
The guy from Chicago.
No.
No, Mason Rudolph is on the roster, but Steelers brought in Trubisky.
Oh, Trubisky, that's right, yeah.
So they wanted to have a little competition with Trubisky and Haskins, but unfortunately now they're going to be a quarterback short.
Yeah.
Very just sad news, and just, you know, I forget who said it, but somebody said, you know, unrealized potential is one of the saddest things that you can see.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's so true. Yeah. Because we'll never know.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
I mean, he was only 24. I mean,
yeah.
Your life is
like just starting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know he had the bad start at Washington, but, you know.
But it's Washington.
Number one, it's Washington, which, by the way, they don't look good this week.
No.
With potential financial fraud allegations
coming their way. We're not smart enough to even handle that yet. Maybe after our break.
Yeah, maybe then we'll have a financial degree, but apparently in that case, Dan Snyder and his financial teams were submitting two different financial reports, one to the NFL and one to the tax man, the government.
They definitely knew, right?
They definitely knew. And also, like, come on.
Come on, really?
Are you think you're going to outsmart the government?
The government and the NFL?
Yeah.
Who successfully covered up concussion studies for decades?
Yeah, Dan Snyder needs to go, that asshole.
He needs to go.
Yeah, but anyway, that already just goes to show you the dysfunction with Washington and how bad of a start that was for Dwayne Haskins. But it's just a shame that he never had a chance to really have a fair opportunity to show what he could have done in the NFL.
Yeah, so sad news learning about the passing of quarterback Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
But we do have to get to some news that happened this weekend, positive news that happened this weekend. It was not only Rich's golfing weekend, but it was the world's golfing weekend with the Masters.
Oh, yeah. Crank up the Masters music. Ah.
So relaxing.
The Masters on CBS.
People are just nodding off left and right.
Yes, very good. No, this is...
Just listen to the dulcet tones wash over you.
Yes. Take a deep breath in. Imagine all the greens. Yes.
Yes.
And you just love to see Augusta. You love to... I know you make fun of me for it, but there is just something that warms the cockles of my heart, seeing Augusta and, you know, that golf course. You know,
I mean, it's legendary, so...
The one that, you know, legends have played on. I mean, just if you're any sort of golf fan, it gets to you a little bit. And, you know, there was a little bit of drama, but not as much drama as I think maybe some people would have liked to have, you know, like some sort of back and forth moment. But you know what? At the end of the day, it still was a great weekend of golf. A lot of interesting shots were made. Tiger Woods made the cut. That's a story right in there on of itself.
I mean, yeah, after that horrible injury, and he had other issues, right?
I mean, I think, what was it? I think what's the opening round? It was, yeah, the opening round, he shot one under. I mean, that's, he's in contention. I mean,
yeah,
that's impressive, but, you know. It was to be expected that he wasn't going to be able to have the endurance to last all four rounds. But at least he made the cut. I mean, he actually showed grit. I mean, that's a great story right there to see Tiger coming back and, you know, especially pulling it all together for the Masters, showing that he's not completely done with his career yet.
Yeah.
So that
was... He still got something.
Yeah, that was a great story there. But let's get to the winner, and that is Scottie Scheffler.
Now, that's a name I have not heard all the years of golf talk.
No, you haven't, and that is literally because 2022 may be this young man's career. I mean, he's only 25, He's won 3 PGA tournaments this year already.
Wow.
A little hot streak, and he walks right into this Masters, and he pulls out a great 4-day score, 278 strokes. He finishes 10 under par and collects a green jacket and a $2.7 million payday.
Wow.
Yeah. How do you like that? you wonder what these guys are playing for. There you go. $2.7 million to this young man.
I mean, he's set now, right?
Well, I mean, look, to start off right now, he's got the golf world at his feet right now. So definitely was a great show. I guess there were, you know, the only other thing I can mention here, Rory McIlroy shot a 64, which is 8 under par on Sunday.
Wow.
To try and force Scottie Scheffler to make a couple mistakes. But unfortunately, like Rory's past major performances, it always just seems to come too little too late, because unfortunately he started out the round on Thursday and Friday both 1 over, which kind of isn't impossible to win, but it definitely puts you out of contention. So even though Rory finished second, he still had that amazing score on Sunday, which was noteworthy and turned heads. And it's just a shame he can't seem to put it all together. He needs to be able to, you know.
He needs to do that, like, every single round.
You got to start off good, too. Like, you can't just work. You can't just turn the heat on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
You know, you got to have that consistency.
Yeah, because by then it's too little too late to put pressure on the guys in front of you, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is what it seemed like happened, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Scottie was 10 under.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a huge amount, right?
Yep. And I mean, you know, with nobody else kind of nipping at his heels, he just had to play smart, conservative golf, you know, make sure you don't make those critical mistakes, you know, that Jordan Spieth once did a couple years ago. You know, you just play smart, you avoid the traps.
There's a guy that fell off the face of the earth.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll see. He's still young too, Jordan Spieth. You know, we got time. You know, that's the thing with golf is most of these guys, assuming they don't get into a, you know, absolutely horrifying car accident, most guys have time. You know, they got time to develop and time to craft their game.
Everybody's just so eager to crown the next Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is still there. He's not good, but he's still there. But nobody's really shown that consistency.
I mean, it's tough.
We are trying to compare them to, like, one of the best of all time.
Right.
So.
It may be a situation we're not going to have a replacement like one Tiger Woods, you know?
Right, right.
Or one Jack Nicklaus. It's just so much.
Those guys are a once-in-a-generational type talent.
Correct. You
know? Like a LeBron James.
Not that. I won't go that far.
I'm kidding.
Look, Scottie Scheffler, hey, he's right now. He's got the golf world at his feet. Winning 3 PGA tournaments earlier this year, and now just rolling in on a hot streak, winning the Masters.
Dude, I would retire.
No, like, keep going.
Like, what is this? That's like three, four wins in 1 year. How much money did he make this year alone? Like, what, like $7-8 million probably?
Well, no, the regular PGA tournaments don't pay as much.
But they still pay something, right?
Some, but no, the Masters and the other majors are a whole different ballgame. You become... When you win a major, that's millions of dollars.
Okay. I would wager he's still got close to $4
million. Yeah, that would be more likely. Not.
I'm retiring. I'm retiring.
Well, hey, look.
I'm retiring if I'm Scottie.
Why? You're young in your career. Why not? Keep going.
Retire. Go on speaking tours. Have colleges pay you like a couple $1,000 to give a commencement speech. 2 hours on a Saturday. You're good, man.
Nah, man. Keep going. also, fun fact, he's somewhat of a local guy, from Ridgewood, New Jersey.
Sure.
No, it's northern New Jersey.
Oh.
Bastards. New York will probably claim him.
Bastards.
Oh, well. I saw New Jersey and I got a little excited.
You were trying to make the connection, but no, Rich, that's like all the way up past New York.
Whoops. Oh, well. I was hoping that it would be more closer, but... Damn it, New York's gonna say that he's one of their own bastards.
Probably.
Oh well. Nevertheless, hey, Scottie Scheffler, he gets paid $2.7 million. What a win. He gets the green jacket. What a magnificent performance. Rory, you know, he'll finish second, but Yeah, you know, you just wish he could put together just a consistent four days of golf. Because that's just really what he's just missing, just like those first two rounds. And he's not that far off. I mean, one over, like, you just need to hinder, you know, roll back in some of those mistakes, you know?
Yeah.
He's almost there. It's just frustrating.
Yeah.
And plus, the Masters is the one that he needs for the Grand Slam. If he gets the Masters, that's the career Grand Slam. Just, oh.
It's like his white whale. He's always going to, you know, be within reach and then never actually get it.
Ah, come on, Rory. You're almost there.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Come on. Somebody's got to whip him in the shape to.
Just practice there more.
Someone shake him up. Hey, get those first two rounds settled down.
Just practice there more. Why doesn't he just practice there more?
Yeah, I mean, well, that is the one thing with the Masters is it's always held at Augusta. So,
like, you could just golf there all year round. Just golf, 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 same place.
Yeah.
No, does that not
work? Focus, yeah, you know. See, now, I bet you want to go back to the money argument. That's probably a guy that has so much money. He should, like, probably, like, give up some of the other tournaments.
And just practice.
And focus on, focus on Augusta.
Look, now I can only speak to myself, but when I see a checklist that has three out of four, I'm focusing on the fourth.
Yeah.
Like, that is my priority. I'm not focusing on the other three. They're already checked. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
you got to finish it, man. Finish what you started.
And you're a completionist.
I am. I 100% video
so
games.
We need you to fly over to England
and confront
Rory McIlroy. Yeah.
Oh, I am going over there.
There you go. You're going over there.
Wait, where is he?
I don't know.
I can find him. Find him.
Smack him.
you're like, this is your mission. Find him.
This is your mission if you choose to accept it, Mikey. We need you to go over there and slap the shit.
I will find Rory McIlroy and I will slap him.
Just say, hey.
Until he wins the Masters.
And just say, hey, how about you give up, like, 6 months before the Masters and just live there.
Just live there, practice there, play there. I mean, like, just get it done.
Yeah. Don't worry about the other tournaments. You already won the other tournaments.
It's like, oh, boo-hoo, I'm going to miss out on my winnings. Yeah, but you win at Augusta.
You get the career Grand Slam.
Yeah, you get a career Grand Slam. You go down as one of the best of all time. You get a cool 2.7 mil.
I say just do it.
Just do it, Rory.
Go over there.
I feel like I'm Shia LaBeouf. Just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. Go over there. Slap him a little bit.
I'm just going to smack him around a bit.
And tell him that needs to be the game plan.
Absolutely.
I think that works.
I think so, too.
We're not hyper-aggressive, right?
No, not at all.
No. Look, golf brings out the aggression in me.
I mean, the theme song is so amped up.
Yes.
You can't help but bring out the aggression.
Ah! Yes. I want to see people complete the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
So come on, you guys can do it. So come on, Rory, listen to our advice, or if not, Mikey's gonna go see you.
That's right.
During the break. So there you go. But that's all the sports news for right now. But we still have plenty more shows still to come with the entertainment entree, and then the non-fortune cookie odd news still to come. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
For another record-breaking year.
Watch as game show fans recreate 24 of their favorite game shows, all to raise money for Child's Play.
Child's Play helps and heals children in hospitals and domestic shelters through the power of play.
You can watch the fun go down on June 4, 2022.
And you can donate now
at GameShowMarathon.com.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we're going to move right along into the second part of the show where we've got movies, TV, video games, celebrity news, stuff like that in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
All right, before we get into some of the usual segments in the entertainment entree, we just want to mention another unfortunate death came across our newswire. This one just before we started recording, actually, and that is famous comedian Gilbert Gottfried passed away at the age of 67. Another legend of the comedy scene. He was also in a couple of movies, Problem Child, Aladdin, to name a few.
Aladdin.
Yeah, definitely just one of those guys. You know, of course, he had his shrill voice and everything like that, but yep. He was actually a really funny comedian, too, if you ever saw some of his stand-up. Just another one of those kind of guys that you may have forgotten about, but in terms of the legacy of comedy, especially in the 90s and 2000s, he was definitely an icon in that sphere. A wonderful act to go see in the stand-up clubs. So unfortunately, we lose another great comedic hero here.
Very, very sad stuff. And they just said that after a long illness. So that's
I believe it was a heart problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Just sad to see that. And not terribly old either at 67.
No.
But, you know, my favorite role of his will always be as Iago in Aladdin.
Yeah, I thought that would be it.
I mean, he just brings so much life and so much fun, you know, that so much charm to the movie with that character. So, definitely going to be a sad loss in the entertainment
and
world.
I don't know if you saw this, but I think it was Kathy Griffin. I forget who it was. Somebody had a poster, had a post of backstage at one of the comedy clubs. It was Gilbert Gottfried, Full House guy. Why can't I remember his name?
I do not know. Stamos?
No.
I don't know.
Why am I forgetting?
Saget?
Yeah, Bob Saget. Thank you. I don't know why I forgot. Yeah, right there. And Louis Anderson. They were all backstage apparently during one show, and they had a nice little picture together. And it's kind of sad we lost all three of them recently.
Yeah, man.
So unfortunately, not a good time for those '90s stand up comedians that you loved in the past. Seems like they say death's come in three, so that's kind of like a little, you know,
it's kind of grim. But yeah, I guess
hopefully that's the end of that then.
Yeah, when death starts coming in fours and fives, then we got a problem.
Right. But unfortunately, Gilbert Gottfried passing away at the age of 67. Sad news to report on there. All right. Now let's get to the part of the show where Mike is going to let you know what's coming up this weekend with movies, TV, and video games with Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mikey, what do you got?
All right, this week in movies, Fantastic Beasts and the Secrets of Dumbledore hits theaters. This is the third movie in the Harry Potter spinoff series following the adventures of Newt Scamander, the author of the Fantastic Beasts books in the Harry Potter universe. The synopsis for this reads, Professor Albus Dumbledore knows the powerful dark wizard Gellert Grindelwald is moving to seize control of the wizarding world. Unable to stop him alone, he entrusts magizoologist Newt Scamander to lead an intrepid team of wizards, witches, and one brave muggle baker on a dangerous mission when they encounter old and new beasts and clash with Grindelwald's growing legion of followers.
Okay.
But this feels like... So this is my problem with these Fantastic Beasts movies, is that we're both Harry Potter fans. Newt Scamander was not really ever, like, a big figure in the original seven books. Like, he was just the author of these books, and, like, nobody ever revered him as, like, somebody that was this important. And all of a sudden, he's, like, leading this war against Grindelwald, who's one of the baddest wizards of all time. And also, this seems more about Dumbledore than magical beasts. Like, I thought these movies were supposed to be about Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, you... I bet you really loved the first one, but hated the second one.
I did not enjoy this. I don't remember the second one.
Yeah, that sounds to me like something... Because the first one had the beasts and then went into, like, the lore of the beasts,
like,
and stuff like that.
It makes sense why Newt Scamander would be involved. Why is he fighting a war against dark wizards? He's a zoologist.
He just kind of got pulled in by Dumbledore.
Doesn't it seem weird?
Dumbledore just loves bringing people into his crap.
Dumbledore's like, I'm only the most powerful wizard, but here, 17-year-old boy, save the world. Here, random zoologist, save the world. Fight your own battles, Dumbledore.
Yeah, I got my own zoo to keep. I gotta do
right. So anyway, I'm gonna go see it because I'm a fan and I got some tickets already. So
my favorite post about this is we need to have a beeline story that explains why Dumbledore in this series has, like, really nice, stylish 3-piece suits, and then in the Harry Potter universe, he looks like, you know, baggy magician guy.
Yeah.
Like, what? How did that happen?
He looks like old Father Time with, like, his long, like, sleepy robes.
Yeah. Because they're not supposed to be that far apart. Like,
I honestly, the Harry Potter world right now is, like, all sorts of confused.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they need some sort of continuity director or something.
Yeah, something like that. But, anyway, Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, hitting theaters this week. The fact that Dumbledore's in the title, Newt Scamander isn't, should give something away about the focus here. But you know what show in television is super focused? Better Call Saul.
Yes!
Finally returning to AMC for its sixth and final season on Monday, April 18th at 9 p.m. After more than a two-year hiatus, the universally acclaimed show finally returns with big surprises for fans. It's reported officially that Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul are returning to reprise their roles from the original series. We are finally reaching the point in the timeline where everything comes back around and starts to break bad.
Yeah, but I would suspect that's going to be at the very end of the show.
We don't know.
I don't think it makes much sense to have them have their own story in
just
this show.
Just timeline-wise, I don't think they're at the point where...
Not yet.
So there's probably going to be, like, a little allusions and references. Maybe we'll get, you know, like, an episode here or two. Maybe they'll, like, cross paths and not realize it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But still, that's so exciting to see them come back in those roles. So my biggest thing is I got to go watch the series again because it's been almost 2.25 years since the last season aired.
Yeah, damn COVID.
It's a shame. But it's finally back on television. Maybe this year it can win an Emmy.
Hopefully.
It's been nominated for 41 Primetime and Creative Arts Emmys. It's won one.
Which is a travesty.
It really is.
Better Call Saul, in my opinion, might be better than Breaking Bad. I love that show. I really do. I think it pulls off comedy as well as the drama aspect better than Breaking Bad did.
Yeah, Breaking Bad had no comedy. It wasn't really supposed to be a comedy. Better Call Saul has a very unique vibe to it.
Yeah.
Where it has that quick, witty humor, but also the drama. And, yeah, you're exactly right. It hits all those notes so well. And that's why it's so loved and revered by critics. So hopefully it finally gets that awards recognition.
Yeah.
So go check out Better Call Saul, returning to AMC Monday, April 18th. And finally, in video games, we have Road 96 coming out on Switch, PlayStation consoles, Xbox consoles, and PC. Players control several hitchhiking teens who are attempting to flee from a fictional dictatorship. They'll encounter procedurally generated non-player characters, interactions, and scenarios as they decide whether they want to attempt to influence the election or make their way to the border. It seems like one of those like narrative choose-your-own-adventure style games with a kind of unique plot going on. It's gotten pretty decent reviews. I'm kind of intrigued by it because I've never seen anything quite like it. So if you find that intriguing, go check out Road 96 on every major console and PC. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, Mikey, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. All right, we have a quick update that we want to get to.
Yeah.
The slap heard around the world.
Slapocalypse. I mean, it was everywhere the past couple of weeks. But finally, the Academy's Board of Governors held a meeting. They decided to levy some punishment against Will Smith, rightfully so, after he assaulted Chris Rock on stage during the Academy Awards. So the word is that Will Smith is banned from Academy events and award shows for the next 10 years. The statement from the Academy reads, Mr. Smith shall not be permitted to attend any Academy events or programs in person or virtually, including but not limited to the Academy Awards. So there you go. He's done for the next 10 years. He can't show up to any award shows. It's kind of unclear to me. I read it. I'm not sure if I'm just missing it. If he's allowed to be nominated for awards, maybe he can, but he won't be able to accept them.
Yeah, that'll be weird if that ever does happen.
I know he resigned from the Academy. I don't know if that bars you from winning or being nominated.
I would think so, then.
If
you're not a member of the Academy, you can't win an award.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
So, yeah, you know what? It's good. Just have him go away.
Yeah. You know? And in addition to the loss of his Academy membership, Smith has seen several of his upcoming film projects paused or canceled. So, you know, he's definitely suffering repercussions to his actions. And I mean, what else would you expect if you assault someone on stage on live television in front of an audience of hundreds of your colleagues and industry members? It's not, you know, imagine if you got up in a work meeting and just slapped somebody, you know?
Yeah.
That's essentially not what he just did.
Yeah.
A glorified work meeting.
Yeah. Or slap, you know, a comedian at like a stand-up performance. Like, no, they're going to call the cops on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's not how this works.
It's a shame. Like 30 seconds of losing his cool and like ruins everything for everyone.
Yeah.
You know.
And I would have to imagine next year at the Oscars they're going to have to put security at the front of the stage or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't have that already to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the reason they didn't is because they probably have security to get into it. And everybody showing up is, like, that elite inner circle. So they're like, what, you know, it's not like the fans are there. You know, it's just industry insiders. So they're like, nobody's going to do anything. Well, here comes Will Smith.
Yep.
You know?
So there you go. We're going to have security, barred, and, like, you know, those gates and stuff. There you go. That's how it should work.
Yeah. I want to see if they crack any jokes about it next year.
Uh-oh. Is what? Jada Pinkett Smith going to be there?
Oh, man.
She'll bring her boyfriend.
See, now you see, that is the type of joke that should have been told. That's the type of joke that should have been told.
Will Smith is banished.
But not her boyfriend.
But not Jada and her boyfriend.
Oh, man.
Just saying. There's your loophole.
The one thing that I've seen come out of all this is really just how kind of messed up they are as a couple.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting.
She's from what I understand, she's had quite the negative impact on Mr. Will Smith.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. I'll leave it on that note. Yeah. I had a joke. All right, let's
I had a joke.
Let's move forward because this is something I definitely wanted to talk with you about.
Yeah.
But we had to keep delaying it because, you know, life happens. We don't get to see the shows that we want to see at the right times. But,
yes, that was my fault.
but you know, I finally forced Mikey to watch season 3 of Succession, and he finally did. So now we can get into some spoiler talk. I mean, look, if you haven't watched Succession either, then I don't know what to tell you. But we can at least finally now get into some season 3 Succession talk.
I might get into spoiler territory, so just for a heads up, I'll play the spoiler clip.
It's a spoiler! Ooh, it's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
All right, there you go. You've had official warning if you've not seen the three seasons of Succession. All right, so Mikey, what did you think? I was anxious to get your reading on it. I loved the third season. I think this show has just hit a home run every season. I think it's the best written show on TV right now. Anybody that watches the show and they say I don't like Succession, then I don't know what to do. I don't know what else to recommend to you. Yeah. I think this is the gold standard in TV right now. HBO has found its flagship show.
Yeah.
It just works.
Yeah, its next flagship show is absolutely Succession, and everybody should be watching it. It took me a while to get into it because I didn't start watching it when it first came out, but then I binged all of season one, watched season two when it came out. I kind of fell behind a little bit when season three came out, but we watched it recently. We spent a whole Saturday.
I was willing to give up a whole Saturday to make sure we could get through the entire third season.
We ordered food. We watched Succession. It was a blast. And it was well worth it because season three was incredible. To your point about it being the best written show on television right now, it is just so captivating watching these characters. And it's so tightly written. Everything that happens in the show is not coincidental or circumstantial. It is directly from characters' actions or inactions, which always makes such a tight narrative and such a compelling narrative, because you know that when they face repercussions, it is directly because of decisions they've made or decisions they have not made or not taken action on. And that makes the drama that much better because they have no one to blame but themselves. And it's so much better when you watch characters fail, and these characters constantly fail.
Yes.
And
yes, they do.
And that's what helps shows like Succession rise above other dramas. So I watched Succession just a week or two after I decided to stop watching Bel Air on Peacock. Which is an example of a quote-unquote prestige drama, is what it's pitched as, that does not work because none of the problems come out of... It's just a little too neat and tidy, and the problems feel very contrived. You know, it's like, oh, of course, you know, Will's best friend would get shot just as he was pining for home kind of thing. It was all very coincidental and convenient. And it made it feel like there was nothing at stake. It made it feel like the characters didn't really have control over what they were doing or what they didn't do. It just was happening to them. But Succession's not like that.
No.
You feel like they have control over the situation, but they fail.
Yes.
And they try and they fail.
And they make decisions that cause them to fail.
Right, exactly. And so that's what keeps you on the edge of your seat, because like, oh my God, what is Kendall going to do now? And of course he does the wrong thing, and that only keeps you watching more. So sorry, that was like a little bit of a tangent, but like,
no, it's fair.
It is fantastic.
Yeah. And to get to your point, I kind of feel like so far every season has kind of been the argument like against a certain kid. So basically, you know, obviously the story of Succession is they're trying to find out who's going to take over for, you know, Logan Roy when eventually he kicks
right.
the bucket.
Right.
And it's kind of like every season, you just get like, oh, that guy shouldn't be in charge. Oh, that, nope. So season one was obviously Kendall.
Right.
He's supposed to take over, but through his father's assertions, you can see him break down and he can't handle it. He can't handle the stress and the pressure. So, boom, that crosses him out. Then season two is Shiv's turn to try and see if she can make a case. And when she's promised the gig, she becomes too boisterous over it and too demeaning and too in control over it, and lets it get to her head. So there she goes. She's out of it. And then season three, I felt like was Roman. Like Roman
yeah.
seemed to be doing really good this season. He was kind of learning the ropes from everybody.
He was kind of the fixer. They would send Roman to go handle someone or go, you know, chat with someone.
Yep. And just when it looked like he was about to cement his position to take over, he shoots himself in the foot in a very gross way that involves a certain pick of the of something you're not supposed to send to your dad.
Yeah.
That ruins everything and makes his dad question whether or not he should even be in the company after something like that.
Well, I mean, yeah, his maturity level isn't there.
It's amazing how much of a fall that is.
Yeah.
But it also makes sense for a character like Roman. He's very brash and...
He's immature. He, you know, operates based on impulsivity.
Yeah.
You know, he's not really thinking like... You know, all these characters are flawed in some way, in lots of ways. And you're right. Each season has kind of been about one of those characters and how their flaws make them incapable of running the empire.
Yeah.
But speaking of running the empire, it's one of the things that I love the most about the show is the presence of the antagonistic force of the father.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, the drama here is... There's no bad guy, right? The bad guy is the circumstances that they find themselves in.
Well, they're all kind of bad guys.
Well, I mean...
That's really kind of the correct answer. They're all bad guys.
Right. None of them are quote-unquote good guys. I guess there's no antagonist. The main antagonizing force is the father, which you don't typically think of in shows like this as them being the antagonistic force. But he absolutely is, even though his company is, you know, the company of the main characters... He is still also the antagonist. And the power and sway he exhibits over his children and over his company. The one scene that sticks out in my mind that I thought was so brilliant, and this isn't very spoilery, the three children are meeting to discuss what to do about their father, and a package of donuts is delivered from Dad.
Yeah.
And one, he just knew that they were probably going to be getting together. All of a sudden, all the kids disappear. What are they doing? Oh, they're conspiring against me. And then they're looking at the donuts, and it's played off as kind of a joke. They're like, he definitely didn't poison his nose, right? And they all pause for a beat. And it's played off like a joke, but you kind of also, as the viewer, think, maybe, maybe not. We don't know.
Yeah.
And none of them...
Roman says, I'm 98% sure that they're not poisoned.
Yeah.
But there's still 2%.
There's still 2%, right. Exactly. And it's that type of omnipresence of this force that is so interesting and informs so much of what the children do and don't do. And that is how you write an antagonist. An antagonist... doesn't always have to be twirling his mustache and tying the hero down the railroad tracks. Just being present in the back of their mind is enough.
Yes.
The looming shadow and the puppeteer is what... I can't even remember his name now. That's
what, Logan?
Logan, there you go. Logan Roy. That is what he is. He's the puppeteer. He's the shadow looming over everything. He's just always one step ahead. And it makes you root for the kids so much to depose him. But... I don't think it's... So let's talk a little about what we think could happen, because I'm interested to see where this could go.
Right.
We talked about this a little bit before, but...
Yeah, so now really big spoiler territory. I don't know if you listened this far and you didn't watch the show, this is definitely in a heavy spoiler now. You better, I don't know, do something.
Skip ahead a few minutes or something.
Yeah, or watch Succession right now.
Yeah.
So season three cliffhanger is that Logan Roy hates all of his kids so much. Screw them all. I'm just going to cash out the company right now and make billions of dollars, which, boy, I love that turn. That last episode might be one of the best episodes of television I've ever watched. And I've gone back and I've rewatched that episode multiple times. I love the ending of that scene. It's very much like The Godfather. It feels like some like weird... It feels like a backwards Godfather. It feels like instead of Michael eliminating all of his enemies, all of the enemies couldn't muster up the strength to kill the one guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how else... It feels like Godfather-y, but like a reversed Godfather ending.
Or like if Michael made the decision and instead of eliminating all of his enemies, created all of his enemies. In like one action, because that is where I see season foregoing, it is open season. It is all out war. Right? Because these kids
are
going to...
Well, I mean, what can they do?
I mean...
When he reworks the terms of the divorce to take away their power...
They can fight him outside of the legal battle. Like we saw Kendall Roy trying to drag his father's name through the mud.
Yeah, but that's not going to take away his legal standing.
No.
If he's got all the shares, then it's his decision to sell the company.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how the kids respond at this point.
Well, it's not just about the politics and the economy of it. It's the family drama, too. You know, will Logan Roy, here's the dramatic question, will Logan Roy find any sort of thrill or enjoyment in having no one left to control? Because I don't think he's capable of actually selling it. Because his whole shtick for three seasons is he will maintain a vice grip of control on that company come hell or high water, no matter what mental or physical state he's in. He refuses to give it up, and now he's just going to sell it. And what? His whole thing is power and control. I mean, like, his whole thing was wanting to exert some sort of influence.
It is, but...
So you think he's going to be contentious to sit back?
I don't... See, here's the thing, and that's kind of go back to what I said a couple of minutes ago, is I think he feels like he doesn't have somebody he can trust with the company. So if he's at that point where I have no one to leave my legacy to, and this, you know, this guy Mattson from Gojo is the fake company that's trying to take over, and this guy is willing to pay me billions of dollars and also let him still be in, they mentioned something about like they're going to restack the council so that he still has some sort of title within the company.
Right, he still has like some sort of sway there, yeah.
I think he takes it and just kind of, you know, does what he can do. Now, maybe this is where season four goes. Maybe in the reorganization of everything, maybe that's where there's going to be some conflict between Mattson, the character Mattson that's leading Gojo, and Logan Roy. And then that's where you'll get some friction for season four. But I think at the end of season three, when he makes that deal and he's content with selling the company, he does not have any faith in those three kids. He looks at them and he's just like, no, I'm not going to give you guys the keys to almost a $1 trillion corporation here.
Well, that's all fine and dandy, but they're not going to go away.
No, but what else can they do? I don't know what legal standing they're going to have if the divorce
It's not going to be legal. That's the thing. Is that he's been playing mind games with them. They're going to have to get at him a different way.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm interested in seeing, is that he has just openly made enemies of all three of them, where before they would be like, oh, you know, maybe he's not that bad. I feel like now for the first time they are truly united against him. And that's always been their downfall, is that there's always been one of them that would not align with the others. And it prevented them from finally unseating him. Now they stand as a united front. Maybe legally they have no recourse, but how else can they exact their revenge? How else can they finally get control over him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to...
Well, that's the dramatic question. That's what has to get answered.
Here's another thing, too, and we got to talk about this.
Are you talking about the heel turn?
Tom!
I love Tom.
Oh,
my
gosh.
He is my favorite character.
You know...
Go, Tom. Go, Tom.
You know for a fact Tom and Shiv are going to butt heads in season four now. That was such a betrayal. And that lasting shot of her being that silent, angry. Oh boy. If you're
he comes in, he's like, hey, is everything all right? And I'm like, ooh, chills.
Boy, if you're in a relationship and your girl ever has a face like that, you better run for the hills, or you gotta get some protection. I don't know. Cause that face was worth 1,000 words. I don't know how I forget her, the actress name that plays Shiv, Sarah Snook. That was brilliant acting. Just that look of just intense, quiet anger at her husband, who essentially backstabs her in the final twist. Oh my gosh, that's definitely going to be a point of contention in season four.
Yeah,
I don't know how you rectify that. And you're married to them.
Well, for the time being.
Yeah, that might not survive.
But Tom and Greg are my favorite characters.
Yeah,
because they get beat up so much, and finally watching Tom get one over, I'm like, yes, yes, Tom, yes. And the way he walks in, he's like, "Hey, is everything all right?" Like he's like playing like you know the blissful idiot, but like he knows what he just did. He knows what he just did. That whole season, Shiv's basically telling him outright, "I don't love you. You're not good enough for me."
Yeah, that was messed up.
He's like, "All right,
yeah. See what comes next down.
Who's
the
not
pike.
Good enough for who now?"
Yeah.
Because now he's still in the inner circle. Where are they? Where are the kids?
Yeah, they're not in. They're not there anymore.
Yeah. So that's what I can't wait to see is that conflict between the kids and the father and where Tom fits into this and Logan Roy not riding off into the sunset. He can't ride off into the sunset. I think my theory for season four is if he can't exert control over his company from the company, he's going to exert control over his company through legislation. Because they very heavily focus on the political aspects in season three.
Yeah.
And how much influence he wielded in that sphere already. We know that Connor wants to get into politics. We know that Logan Roy has a huge sway in
the Republican Party
in the show. So if you can't control a company from within, why not control it from above?
Yeah.
You know? So there's so many different avenues. And then I still think the best thing that they could do, because you said it's going to season five, right?
I think that's what the writers said. I believe they said
he's
going to
follow
saw
Breaking
this
Bad trajectory.
Yeah, they see this being a 5-season show.
Logan Roy, he's old. He's going to get sick. And yet his specter will still loom even from a hospital room.
Okay.
I think he's the type of force, because we saw with the donut scene, he can exert control over the people in his life even when he's not there.
Those are relevant donuts.
There's relevant donuts. So much subtext in donuts. That's why Succession is the best show on TV, because a donut is way more than just a donut.
That's right. So there you go. Make sure you check out Succession if you haven't. I don't know if you made it through that whole segment. Whoops, we just spoiled everything. But
well, hopefully that got everybody jazzed to see it, because I'm talking about it. I want to go watch it all over again.
Yeah, there you go. You could. You could just watch it all over again. You could do that as well. So there you go. But yeah, we love Succession here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And speaking of the podcast, it's time to leave the entertainment world and go into our third and final segment, the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom, because you're in for hell, right?
News.
That's right, everyone. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds a weird, wacky story and keeps it hidden from me, which ensures that my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing the story for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. Rich, where are we heading to?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Back to Florida. Oh, yeah. Always good to come back.
Old reliable.
Yeah, old reliable. Absolutely.
So,
right.
Where in Florida? What's happening? Who's happening? Where's it happening? Why is it happening?
All right. Well, this is not that long of a story, but it's just, again, one of those, it's great to imagine. And that is because a Florida man who masqueraded around as a Drug Enforcement Administration agent constantly to secure a half-off discount at a Wendy's restaurant, finally got his bluff called, and was arrested for impersonating a law enforcement officer.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yes.
So he did all of that to get a discount at
a Wendy's?
Wendy's?
Yep. And so basically,
oh my God. I mean, you said 50%.
Look, that's a nice
discount. That's a pretty good discount, man.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice discount to try and collect there. So investigators say that 57-year-old Jesse Stover had been receiving the half-off discount consistently at the Wendy's at Daytona Beach for over 2 years straight.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, you got to change up the location, though.
Yeah, why do you
keep can't just go to the
one?
Same place over and over again. Pick a different Wendy's.
Yeah, come on. That poor Wendy's, he's giving you so many half-off lunches.
You're just increasing your odds of being caught. You got to change it up, man.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're just
you're asking for it.
Yeah, that's too many. You shouldn't be hitting the same well over and over
exactly.
again. Exactly. It's funny. That probably doesn't sound like a whole lot. Half off of a burger.
Half off is a lot,
but consistently over 2 years.
Yeah,
that will add up to serious change.
What's a standard meal cost at Wendy's? Like $10-$11 if you get like the large.
If you get like a Baconator, yeah.
Like a Baconator, large
and
fry,
fries,
large drink.
That's probably $10. Knock it down to $5, so you're saving $5.
That's a pretty good deal. You got yourself a Frosty, you know?
And he's been going there for more than 2 years, let's say 100 weeks. That's $500 you're saving.
That's a lot of money right there.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Man, I want to go to Wendy's so bad right now.
Well,
you have no idea.
You got a badge on you? Do you have any?
Yeah, I know, right? I want that deal, man.
Yep. So yesterday, apparently, I guess this manager had enough. This manager saw this guy consistently getting half off of his meals 2 years straight. He had enough of this guy because when he came in for another lunch and asked for the regular law enforcement discount, the Wendy's manager finally called his bluff and asked to see his credentials.
Uh-oh.
When he
Whoops.
Did, he flashed a badge. But are you ready to see what the badge is?
Yeah.
Because first off, I have the mugshot here of good old Jesse here. So that's him, Jesse Stover.
Okay, he looks like a dude.
On to the right, if you're watching on the video feed, the right is the shield that he produced for him, which is not a shield. It's a concealed weapon permit.
Is that really what they look like? A concealed weapon permit looks like
no. It's just like
what is that?
It's just a little token thing that you get. Which, by the way, that's not the concealed weapon permit. The concealed weapon permit is a piece of paper.
I would imagine it's just a piece of paper. They don't hand you a badge.
Yeah.
That's just superfluous
badge. Like, you can order that badge. Like, it's not...
What a jabroni.
That doesn't have any legal standing.
What a jabroni, man.
Yeah, so that's what he produced.
Oh, man.
At that point, the manager looked at it and said that this doesn't count.
No, of course not. It's not a thing.
Stover then became very argumentative, and workers called 911 to confront him. Stover then claimed to the cops that, quote, I'm actually undercover.
Oh my god.
And I don't have my real badge with me.
Shut up.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You just caught me on the one day I'm working undercover. How did you do this to me?
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Boy, he's just, yeah, you just caught me on the wrong day. I'm working undercover.
Yeah.
And I need to get my half-off Wendy's meal.
It's very important to my undercover work.
Yeah, it's very important.
Oh, my God.
Stover then claimed that he was going to go to the DEA corporate office to prove his position.
Okay. Go ahead.
Which I don't think that's a
go
thing.
Go ahead. Do it.
The DEA corporate. Yeah. Like,
do it. I'd be like, I'm already...
Call your supervisor.
Yeah, you're already calling his bluff.
Yeah.
You caught him out for the bad thing. Just, you know, like, why double down, guy? Just, like, walk away with your...
I may not know my flowers, but I know a bitch when I see one.
Yeah.
Like, dude, just walk away with your tail between your legs. Just be done with it.
Well, unfortunately, he can't do that. There's something you should be putting two and two together here.
Yeah, you're not allowed to impersonate federal agents.
Yes. Falsely.
That's a felony, isn't it?
Yes. Falsely impersonating a federal officer is a felony. So all of a sudden, this got really expensive because he's now facing a full-on felony and was released from custody after posting a $2,500 bond.
Man.
Wow. He got the... He got the stick whacked right at him.
Well, luckily, he saved all that money from two years of 50% off. He could afford it. So, you know, yeah. I mean, in the end, Rich, as a gambler, you should appreciate this. He broke even.
I think he's still down.
You think he's still down?
I don't think he saved $2,500.
Over 2 years? It depends how often he ate at Wendy's.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if he was there, like, every day.
Maybe.
I just want to know this manager that was just like seeing this guy every once in a while, just taking my half off discount. Oh my God, go away.
I know this guy's trying to run this Wendy's. He's trying to make an honest buck. He's trying to keep his little franchise open. Here comes this guy getting this 50% discount. He's probably doing it like maybe once or twice a week. And he's like, God, think about how much you're losing by giving this guy this discount.
Oh God, I can't stand this guy.
That mouth did some major damage.
Yeah, that's right. That's an appropriate Negan clip if I've ever heard one.
That mouth did some major damage.
Yeah.
That mouth did do some major damage.
That's the headline of this odd news story.
That mouth did some major damage.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
At least $500 if it was once a week.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But, wow.
I mean... Fast food, even though it's fast and cheap, can get expensive. If you get, like, a large meal, you get, like, you know, like, an extra... I always like to get an extra little side of the nugs, the spicy chicken nuggets, you know?
Did you just say the nugs?
The nugs, yeah.
Who are you?
Who
the
are you?
Nugs.
The nugs.
The nugs. What are you, a millennial?
Yes, I am.
No, what's the next one? Sorry, what's the next
Gen
one?
Gen Z?
Gen Z, that's what they call it, the nugs.
The nugs? Is that a Gen Z thing? I thought it was a millennial thing.
I think so.
Who calls them nugs?
I think it's the Gen Z.
I think it's millennial.
Is it?
Think we call them nugs.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm gonna look it up.
I don't associate with the generation I'm supposed to be in anymore.
Rich, you're like a boomer.
I jumped right past everybody.
You're like a silent generation. You're like you like grew up in the Depression era or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my penny loafers over here.
Yeah, really.
You know, just in case you need a penny. I got him right here for you.
I don't know who says nugs, and I'm afraid to look it up.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. It just sounds wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway, I like to get the spicy chicken nuggets. They're like 99 cents, or it's like $1.20. You get the Baconator. I like the Baconator. Got to go Baconator.
Well, guess what? Just slide that concealed...
Just slide that...
Concealed weapon thing and be like,
50%
sorry,
off.
I'm undercover.
Instead of 10 bucks, that's $5. That's, you know...
You need to give me half off.
Yeah. That's a pretty good deal. Yeah,
so... But I love the irony in that because he might have saved all that money, but he's going to spend a lot to get out of that felony charge.
Yep. That was a lot of effort to save a couple of bucks at Wendy's.
Yep. Too bad.
Like, if this was, like, half off at, like, I don't know, some, like, fancy restaurant, you know? But, like, Wendy's?
Hey.
Like, Wendy's is good. I know it adds up, but, like, that's a lot of effort. Risking a felony for half off at Wendy's?
Yep.
Like, at least make it a Five Guys.
But like you said, he should have went to another location. He should have kept hitting the same one over and over again.
Right, because that manager is getting pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is coming
in
here.
That manager probably was on the verge of, like, killing him and probably had, like, a wall that, like, he scratches, like, every day that he has been here.
He's keeping a tally of all the burgers. Well, think about
it. Time.
If you want to make it as efficient as possible, you go and you order two burgers, you get one free because it's 50% off.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he goes in there twice a week, that's four hamburgers for the cost of two. That's a lot of product that you're sacrificing to this guy.
This damn guy, I can't stand him. Just over and over again. He's just
finally, he just snaps.
Walls. Yeah, he ran out of
wall
space. That's what finally made him click. Just like, oh, I have to check this guy. This can't be real. This poor Wendy's manager.
Yeah, man, he's just trying to run his Wendy's.
Yep. But there you go. True story there. Unfortunately, yeah, he's going to have a bigger charge now. He's going to deal with a felony. So good luck with that with the DEA corporate office, which I don't think is a thing.
Yeah, call up your manager of the DEA.
Yeah, good luck.
The corporate office. The corporate office.
Yeah. And that's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Oh, man. And with that, we got to start wrapping up this episode. The case of the fake federal agent at Wendy's. What a way to end this episode.
Yeah, with a felony.
With a felony. Perfect. There you go, folks. If you like what you heard on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, make sure you check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the whole social media, hubbubaloo.
That's right. In addition to the hubbubaloo, you can also subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast's YouTube channel, where you can get the video version of the podcast right there on YouTube. But you can also get the audio version of the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Stitcher, as well as Amazon devices. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page. You can check that out. If you have any sort of Amazon devices, you can use that to find us. If you've got Android Auto or Apple CarPlay, you can take us on the go whenever you are doing a little bit of a longer trip. And take the Crispy Noodle on the go. It's fantastic.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, you can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on Twitter and let us know what's happening. Also, just to repeat again, next week is our, I guess you could call it season finale, because, we'll be going on a little bit of a hiatus, so make sure you tune in onto next week's episode to see the season finale and, you know, middle conclusion of this year's list of podcasts.
Yep.
And see what else we have one more time before we go into our spring break hiatus.
That's right. But we'll be back in mid-May.
That's right.
With new episodes. So it's only a short wait, and we will be back.
That's right. But until then, we'll leave you guys on that. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later. Bye-bye, all you fine people.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.